Thank you for those who arranged the food, and it's nice to know that we talked about Kishka and in passing, and look what's sent to us. I think this week we're going to talk about some fine wines or maybe single malt scotches, and next week there'll be even more people coming. So we began last week the sugya of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and we're going to speak about a more specific, last week was a general introduction to what the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are. We found out that perhaps there are actually 30 of them, which we outlined. And we also saw an interesting thing, that all of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are indeed learned from one pasuk of the first communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Adam HaRishon, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Leimor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel, which we saw that entire pasuk is extraneous, is redundant, so therefore every word of that pasuk teaches us one of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. I found a fabulous Malbim today, if you look at source number one, who points out something very interesting. Says the Malbim, I have a little bit more that's not on the sheet, says the Malbim, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu really told Adam HaRishon each of those seven mitzvos? Okay, six, because Abram and Hachai came later with Noach. Do you think he really had to tell Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, I want to make sure you're not going to be Noef? With whom? I want to make sure you're not going to steal. From whom? So, points out the Malbim, it doesn't mean that Hashem told Adam HaRishon all these six and was mitzvah Adam HaRishon. What it means is that included in the mitzvah of Lo Sochlu Mikol Eitz Hagan were somehow that mitzvah, that single mitzvah that Adam HaRishon had before the Chet, somehow were kolel all the Zion mitzvos. Fine. And then he adds a fabulous thing. Look at the first line of the source sheet. Says the Malbim, the nature of these Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach, Heim HaSharoshim L'chol HaMitzvos. These Zion mitzvos are indeed the shorish of all the mitzvos, Mehem Histafu Achar Kach Taryag Mitzvos of Bnei Yisrael. Mehistafu means that branched out, meaning those mitzvos, there was really one mitzvah of that Adam HaRishon had called them HaChet, and that was not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. Somehow that had within it, in a certain way that I don't really understand, the kernel of all seven mitzvos for Bnei Noach. And those seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach in turn have kolol in that the shoresh of all taryag mitzvahs that would later be revealed to Klal Yisrael.
How would you say this relates to Aseret HaDibros? I thought many people say the same thing about
it. So you're asking how are the Aseret HaDibros, how are all taryag ramos in Aseret HaDibros? I don't think that's mutually exclusive to the fact that all taryag could be somehow ramos or included in the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. They're different ramos. I don't think it would be exclusive. And while the Malbim was added, he has an interesting point. What are, I mean, it doesn't work so well because dinim is actually an asay, but primarily, besides dinim, all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, in other words, six out of the seven, are all lotaseis. Meaning, there is no proactive
establishing a
Beis Din, right, aside from dinim. But what's the whole purpose of establishing a Beis Din, and what's the whole purpose of dinim? Nothing more than to adjudicate the other six. So essentially, what is the nature of the entire relationship of the Ben Noach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only negative, only passive. There's nothing, there's no avoda in a positive way of coming close, of kirvas Hashem, of avas Hashem. An incredible Malbim. Malbim, so look at the next sentence, after the three dots. Says the Malbim that whenever you see the word al, something al somebody else. The word, whenever you have, like in our pasuk that where we see the tzivui of Hashem to Adam HaRishon, it says Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'Adam leimor. Whenever you see in the third person, says the Malbim, the word al, and he brings pasuk after pasuk to prove this, that always is going to connotate a tzivui of passiveness. Again, you have to see his sources. We're not going to see, but look at that last line. There are no positive mitzvos that a Ben Noach is mitzvah. If this is included, this is included in the words, whenever you have the word al, somebody telling al somebody else, that always is going to connotate a negative, something to do, not to do, something to be passive, to not do an action, which is just an incredible ha'ara that the Malbim saw in Tanakh. So we are concluding right now with this introduction, and now I'd like to get into the topic. If you look at the title of this today's shiur, we're going to continue Zayin Mitzvos Bnei Noach v'Yichusan and their relationship L'Mitzvos Yisrael, shiur number 2. And the topic we're going to talk about this evening are two points. We'll see how much time we have. The first one is, do we assume that Bnei Noach have to follow Dinim Midrabanan? What do I mean by that? We know that there are numerous Dinim Drabanan for us, but on the 6 mitzvahs or 7 mitzvahs that they have, there could be Drabanans for those mitzvahs. So are they bound by Shema mitzvahs? Are the Shema mitzvahs of Bnei Noach also include
That's what we have
to talk about right now. And I'll explain what I mean. For example, we have a concept, one of the Zayin mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is Arayos. In Shas, we have a concept called Shnias La'arayos. Look at the Gemara Yevamos in source number 2. Pasuk says, "Shmartim es mishmarti, also mishmeres mishmeres." We have to put a fence around the Torah, which teaches us the concept of shnios. Tan rabbanon, mahim shnios. What are these dinim derabbanon, arayos derabbanon? Aim imo, for a person to live with his grandmother, in this case, or aim aviv, his grandmother on the other side. This would be only an iser derabbanon. But Chazal, and of course, it enumerates a few others that are only midrabanan. So we know, and we will agree, that a ben noach can't violate arayas. What about shnias la'arayas? So what are the two sides of the coin? Why? Who would vote that yes, bnei noach are bound by shnias la'arayas, are bound by yisurim derabanan? Would anybody suggest that? Oh, terrific! So Rav Yosef is saying that, in as much as the Gemara tells us, there can't be any Jews are always have to be. Stricter, thank you. If there's anything that a ben noach, that a Jew is bound by, I'm sorry, if there's anything that a ben noach is bound by, a Jew always has to be stricter. So how does that answer the question? Yeah. It's the opposite, it's the inverse. Yeah. We are. So they could not have.
They could not be.
They could not be, right. That's the basis. Anyone who could argue that maybe they would have to be. Yeah. Is there anyone who would argue, is there any logic to suggest why a non-Jew would be bound by Dinim Drabbanan? Any svaras? No svaras. Okay, so let's look for some sources. Let's talk about another one of the Zayin Mitzvos Bnei Noach that has in it, in our application, Din Drabbanan, Eva Menachai, I'm going to show you, Gemara and Chulin right now, there's such a thing called Eva Menachai Midrabbanan. I don't know the sugya so well, but let's look at the Gemara and Chulin. Tisanya. Basar basada treifa lo sochlu, lahavi eber v'habasar hamedul dalin. Medul dalin means it's like hanging. It's sort of like if you picture something that's almost completely severed, but it's still hanging on just by a little bit of by a thread. You know, like when you're cutting chicken in an Erev Shabbos and you sort of got through the whole thing, but you didn't get the end of the last little bit is still attached. So with that, to remove that eber, would that violate eber menachai? So the Gemara Chulin says that would be Aser. Next line says, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, source number 3, Eimban Ela Mitzvah Parush Bilvad. It only has a mitzvah to avoid it. You're not really, it's not a lav, it's not Eivim Menachai, it's just a mitzvah to not do it. Says Rashi, Ela Mitzvah Parush, the second half of Rashi, Ela Mitzvah Parush Bialma, Midrabanan, Ukras Macht, it's not a real source. In the Chumash, it's just an Issa Drabbanan. So fine, we have Eivrim Menachai Midrabbanan. If I were to see an animal has something or other is just sort of hanging from it, its leg, a cat is walking around, limping around, its leg is sort of, I shouldn't say a cat, we'll talk about a kosher animal. A chicken is walking around and its wing is hanging off, it got into an accident, its wing is hanging off and I rip it off and eat it, that would be Issa Drabbanan. Says the Ran, would this apply to a guy? Look at the Ran in Maseches Chulin. Kagon Abraham Adoldol, it's going to be Asurim. Says the Ran, Umihu, however, Dav Gol Yisrael, this Isser of Abraham Adoldol is only going to be prohibited to a Yisrael. Aval Ben Noach, it's going to be Mutter. Second line, Dafil Yisrael, Ein Bo Elam Mitzvahs Parash. It's only even for a Yisrael, it's only midrabanan. So therefore, for Benoch, it's going to be mutter. Oh, you're saying very clearly. You're saying, of course. How could you even start to say that a Benoch should have mitzvah d'oraisa, d'rabanan? We only have to listen to d'rabanan because of lo sasser. If they don't have lo sasser, where does it start? And I think you will like the next Rambam also. The Rambam in Hilchos Nachlas, talking about nothing to do with Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Here he's talking about how Yerusha works and what are the laws. These are the very, very delicate halachas. There are probably more family fights that happen because of Yerusha than so many other areas. Just imagine if it's Yerusha, if there's a ger, just imagine the fights that could happen there. Says the Rambam, a ger on a Doraisa level, if he's Megayer, he's no longer related to his father. So therefore, should he yarshin his father? A goy dies, his son, the ger, who's now Abraham, Hager, Tzedek, midoraisa shanat, is not connected, is not related to his father at all, never should not inherit. However, Ella, midivrehim tiknu, lo sheyirash, Chachamim wanted to, yes, allow him to inherit his goyish father. Why? Because if he doesn't, you know, with on one hand he wants to be Jewish, on the other hand there's a $3 million estate that, he can't afford being Jewish at this point. All of a sudden, you know, buying two sets of dishes and spending twice as much in kosher delight as opposed to McDonald's he could handle. But, you know, a $3 million estate, that's a little too expensive, you know, to be Jewish. So therefore, Chacham made a takana d'rabanan, we will let him yoresh, even though midoraisa that's not the case. If he was a guy,
if he was
a guy,
he would be
Yerush,
his father,
Midoraisa. Right. If he was a guy, he would be Yerush. Yeah. He would be Yerush, Midoraisa. Right. So then the Rambam talks about whatever he talks about, a case of Tanai, and concludes the Rambam, Ve'en ha'akum mechuyav lama b'takonis chacham, whatever the context, whatever that detail is, a guy is not bound by dinim d'rabbanan. So we have, the Ran says that Abraham and Hachai d'rabbanan does not apply to a guy. The Rambam says clearly, a guy does not have to be omei b'takanas chachamim. We agree. There's no reason for a guy to have to be bound by dinim d'rabbanan because you need a pasuk to obligate a Jew in a din d'rabbanan. So lo tasser, don't violate the dinim d'rabbanan. The Torah says, and he wasn't mitzvah in that. So a guy, of course not. However, I found just totally by chance today an incredible Rabbeinu Bechai in source number 6. Rabbeinu Bechai is talking not about a Benoach, but he's talking about Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Avram Avinu is such a wonderful person. Vayishmor mishmarti mitzvasai chukosai v'sarosai. So the Rabbeinu Bechai has a gevald gevor. What does it mean that Avram Avinu is such a wonderful tzaddik that he commands his children in his legacy? What was Avram Avinu's legacy? Well, Avram Avinu was a wonderful, he was the first. Well, he was a Jew, but he was the first person who really cared about being a proper Ben Noach. He was the first person who didn't do Avodah Zarah, who wanted to be a proper Ben Noach. And therefore, what was his legacy to Banav Acharav? To be a good, upstanding guy. And that's how the Rabbeinu Bechai says, Vayishmor mishmarti, those words, mishmarti, chukosai, mitzvasai, chukosai, v'sarosai, those three words refer to, and you could see how he divides it, al derech hapshat, yomar on the top line of the second page, Yomar Zeh al mitzvah shen stava b'nei Noach. This pasuk is praising Avram Avinu for educating his children and his progeny to keep mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Mitzvosai him gezel shvichus damim. V'chukosai ar Eber ben Hachai v'kil ayim shal behema. Fine. Sarosai, we're not going to have a dinim v'avodah zara.
That comes very well with the sheet that says Eretz Hashem is included, no? Eretz Hashem.
Hold on, please. The Rabbeinu Bechai talks about that in the part that I didn't copy for you. Hold on with that. Says the Rabbeinu Bechai in his last line, Umishmarti, what's that? He explained that we learned from Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai. What was the first word? Mishmarti. Wait, what does the word Mishmarti mean? Where else have we seen the word Mishmarti? We saw that in the source number. No, source number 2. The Gemara Yavama says that the word Mishmarti always means a guard around the Torah. It refers to Dinam D'Rabbanan. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, what was Avram Avinu Mitzaveh? Avram Avinu was Mitzaveh, Mishmarti, to his children to observe the Dinam D'Rabbanan that surround and that guard the Sheva Mitzvah. Shnius Larayas, which I assume is one of the, that's where the majority of Dinei Rabbanan are by seven is Bnei Noach. So you see for this Rabbeinu Bechai that he's assuming that there is a concept of Dinim Drabanan for Bnei Noach, against everything that we've seen until now, and against the logic that we would assume.
The Shvatim Oivan real Arayas, not just Shnius. So how could you say that?
So the Rishonim ask you a question: how could the Shvatim violate Isurim
Daraisa?
So
that you have to. In light of this particular point, even on Drabonah Zechayim, the out of town maiden should not fill out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. After Rabbeinu Bechai talks about that in the continuation.
What about Kilayim and Harkavas?
So I didn't want to focus on that, which he says Kilayim and Harkavas Ilan, but the Gemara talks about. Last week we mentioned that there are seven, but there's a Gemara that says really there are 30. There are, even though it's not listed in the seven that we're familiar with, the Gemara in Sanhedrin does mention that there might be others which are included in the 30, and among those are Kilei Behema and Harkala Se'ilan, grafting and mixing species.
This view of the Rabbeinu Bechai is probably more consistent with the Malbim start, but you can see it in that way.
The Malbim is saying that the... I don't understand what you're saying. This is talking about Dinei Drabanan, and the Malbim was just saying that Zayin and Mitzvah Bnei Noach are the source for Tayag.
Right, so if they're the source of Tayag, it means Zayin and Mitzvah Bnei Noach as categories.
Right.
So therefore,
I don't see Drabanans, though.
No, exactly, because that just goes to how you would Drabanan. Drabanan is not just a separate thing. It's part of the expanded vision.
But they're not
Mahuyah. Huh. Conceptually, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say that as a proof. I'd say that the idea is there. Okay. So I just want to add one other source that might indicate that Bnei Noach would be obligated in a din mide rabbanan. There's a in source number 7. We have. I'm now going to bridge to the next sugya, but first I'll finish up this sugya of whether they're bound by Dinei Drabanan. What are the parameters of adjudicating a case of a guy? Ketzan mitzvah hein al hadinim, says the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim Perek Tes. So how do they, what's their mitzvah to do dinim? So they have to establish batei din. And second line, Benoch Shavar al Achas Mishav Mitzvahs Elu, a guy who violates any of these Sayan mitzvahs, Yeharig Besayef. That means if you see a fellow in the supermarket swipe a Hershey bar, you shouldn't kill him, but he has to be taken to court and he has to be executed. Right?
It's unless you're real law.
Shri
Lord really
cut off his hand.
I'm sorry. This is the wrong Rambam. This is the wrong Rambam. I want to tell you a different Rambam. We'll get to this Rambam in a moment. I'm sorry. Wrong Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the next perek, a Rambam that we all are familiar with. I'll tell it to you outside. Besides all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, we also know that Goyshe Shavas, Chayav Misa. Goyshe Lama Torah, Chayav Misa. Says the Rambam, if a guy was taka osik batora, right? Let's say we put this up online, and a guy listens to it. Does that mean we're going to hunt him down? You have a guest come to your house for Shabbos, and he's not Jewish. He's being a guy who's in the process, and he taka for whatever reason keeps the whole Shabbos. He doesn't flick on a light. So after Shabbos, you're going to take him down to the basement and cut off his head. Okay. Besides that, says the Rambam, even with these things, even though the Gemara says chayev misa. It really just, the way we're not going to kill him, maybe Chayiv Misa Klapi Hashem, but all we do is Ma'akin Oso, Va'onshin Oso, and we tell him that he deserves to get Misa, but we don't actually kill him. Says Halacha Mishnah, what does this mean? It means that these are not really Asur D'Oraisa. That's what the Halacha Mishnah says. So if it's not Asur D'Oraisa, that means it's only Asur for him to learn Torah, to keep Shabbos Mideh?
Rabbanan.
And what are we doing to him? We're hitting him. So what does that mean? That we're holding him responsible and liable for a din midi Rabbanan. Oh, there's a gewaltige chab of Yonason Steif. He was the Wiener Rav in Europe, came to America, and he, right after the war, Rav Moshe used to call him the Gadol Hador, right after the war, And he had this incredible diyuk. You see from the way the lecha, again, the Rambam says something very simple. If a guy was osek batorah or kept Shabbos, yumakan osel ba'onshin osel. And on that, the lecha mishnah said, because it's only derabbanan. That's why we don't kill him. Says the Yonos of Saif. Oh, you see, from the fact that something's only derabbanan, and we're nevertheless holding him responsible for it, that means that a guy is bound by din derabbanan. Oh, you see from here that goyim are nichlal in dinim derabbanan. Incredible proof for the lecha mishnah on the Rambam. There's one problem. What did the Rambam say about 4 minutes ago? The Rambam in Hilchos Nachlos, on source number 5, told us clearly that a guy does not have to keep dinim derabbanan. So that might poke a hole in Yonatan Steif's proof from how to learn this din of the Rambam. Okay, that was just the cherry on top to finish the discussion.
Those examples that you gave were not from the
Rambam. Dinim
derabbanan.
Well, I would say all the more so. If we're saying that he has to keep the Rabbanon even of things that are not in the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, wouldn't we assume all the more so he would be liable, he would be responsible for keeping the Rabbanon of Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach?
Why do you say Shabbat or whatever? Because we don't want him thinking as for whatever reason.
Who told him that he can't do it? The rabbis? Why does he have to listen to those rabbis? What's the Mechayev? There's nothing to Mechayev him unless we assume that he's bound by the Rabbanons. Okay.
When we say it's not the Oraisa, you're saying, well, it's the Rabbanon.
There's no other option.
For Ben Noach, there's a Oraisa level, and then there's a lesser level that we're calling not the Oraisa.
I'm not familiar with an intermediary level between Doraisa and Derabbanan. I mean, even though you are correct that there are intermediary levels of high level Derabbanans, for example, a Dimi Derabbanan that's called Divrei Kabbalah, which means it's a mitzvah derabbanan that's in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is true. It has a higher chiyuv derabbanan. Like reading Megillah is a, because it's in Tanakh, is a higher level mitzvah than lighting Shabbos candles, which is, they're both derabbanan, but reading Megillah is a higher level because it's in Tanakh. It's Divrei Kabbalah, but they're both derabbanan. If it's either deraisa, once it's not deraisa, it's derabbanan. There's no other, it's
you're
night or day.
You're the framework of what applies to Jews. Here we're talking about Bnei Noach. They might have a different...
I don't know what it could be. If it's not the Rabbanim, if it's not the Rabbanim, it's not the right, so what is it? Yeah.
There's a category of Goyim. They call themselves Bnei Noach in the South. Do they have any special category as far as we're concerned?
So we're going to talk about what are the status of modern-day Noahides. The last shiur of this discussion, we'll try to figure out, do they get Olam Haba? Are they a Ger Toshav? Do Goyim get Olam Haba? Do they not? How do they have to observe the Shemitz Bnei Noach in order for them to earn their Olam Haba? That we'll talk about at the last shiur of this topic.
Friend of mine.
I want to talk about the last topic for today, which is the one of the seven Mitzvahs Bnei Noach of Dinim, that which they have to establish courts. So the Rambam is ever so clear in source number 7. What is this obligation that Goyim have, Bnei Noach have, to do dinim, says the Rambam ever so clearly. V'keitzan mitzuvan hein al hadinim, says the Rambam, chayavim lehoshiv dayanim v'shoftim. They have to establish court systems, b'chol plach u'plach, in each and every city, ladun, to judge, to adjudicate, b'sheish mitzvos elu. And if they don't, then as we mentioned before, they're going to get killed with sayif. And says the Rambam in the second line in the middle, m'pnei zeh, because of this, when Shechem took Dina, when Hamor ben Shechem took Dina and raped her, and the city of Shechem were destroyed by Shimon and Levi, how did Shimon and Levi have the right to kill the whole city? Shechem gazal, v'heim ro v'yodah v'lo danu. The whole city of Shechem didn't judge their mayor or their mayor's son for this. This inappropriate behavior, one of Zion Mrs. Bnei Noach, and therefore we were able to kill all of the city. Fine. Now there's a Ramban. I'd like to go through the Ramban inside together because it's so important. V'rabim yishalu. Many people will ask, how could Bnei Yaakov be so bloodthirsty? Ech also Bnei Yaakov hatzadikim hamayis hazelishpoch damnaki. How could they wipe out a whole city? V'harav heishiv, the Rambam answered, what he answered, that they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dayanim. Says Ramban, I don't like that. V'ein dvarim halalo nechonim be'enai. Doesn't appear to me. Shim Kain, first of all, who should have, if it's true that Shechem, the entire city of Shechem, deserves to be destroyed, so who should have been the big tzaddik and done it?
Yaakov
Avinu himself. And yet, what do we see Yaakov's response when his children did it? He was so angry at them. So it means that they did something wrong. But according to the Rambam, they're like, you know, they're the lights of the world. They're maintaining, they're upholding the obligation of Dayanim, of killing off the Zayim Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Therefore, next paragraph, Al-Dayati Hadin, Dinim is as follows. Look at this line. Tziva Osam, this mitzvah of Zayim Mitzvahs Bnei Noach obligates them, Bidine, Geneva, Ve'ona, not to overcharge a six, Ve'oshek, not to withhold money, Uschar Sacher, to pay the worker on the same day, Vidini HaShomrim, of a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sacher, a Shoal, a Socher, Ve'ones, the knossos even that apply to a person who rapes a woman, mefatan, to seducing a woman, vows nazikin, and bor, shor, mava, hever, all the beginning of bavakama, v'chova b'chaveiro, the five things that you have to pay when you damn it, when you smack somebody in the face, sheves, ripui, boshes, v'dine malve v'lov, all the halachas of borrowing and lending, and dine mekar v'mekar. In other words, what's the Ramban saying? That every non-Jew has to be a baki in all of Choshen Mishpat. All of Choshen Mishpat. That's what the Ramban holds. And if they don't follow the laws of Choshen Mishpat, we kill them. Right? He doesn't pay his worker on the day that he worked, right? You have a babysitter. And you have an obligation to pay the babysitter by the end of that day. Let's say the babysitter works for you during the day. You have a babysitter in the nighttime. So you have till the next day, sunset, to pay your babysitter. Unless you worked out another agreement. And if not, we should kill the guy. That's what Ramban holds. Ramban holds that dinim, the obligation of dinim is that they have to keep all of the parameters of financial halacha that we are familiar with.
Doesn't this imply that they would have to learn 12
after 1,000%. It applies that they have to know. Well, let me ask you a question. You know what else this applies? Forget this. Before this. There's a lot of discussion, especially in the past, 30 years, that more and more women are going to... I think right now there's more than 50% of medical school is female.
That's correct?
Okay. Do we want women to learn Torah? Do we want women to learn Torah Shabbal Peh? Chas v'sholom, it's tiflus. Therefore, they should only learn all of Orach Chaim, all of Yoredeya, all of Choshen Mishpat, and all of Eben Ha'ezer. But no Torah Shabbal Peh. Is there anyone here who's done that? There's a lot to learn. You're right. The Rambam points out that when we talk, I think the Rambam, some of the Rishonim talk out, when we talk about the fact that a guy can't learn Torah, it means he can't learn Torah besides the seven mitzvahs that apply to him. Therefore, according to this Ramban, he does have to learn. In fact, last week we learned, when we learned the expanded version of what the Zayim Mitzvah B'Noach and the Ramami Pano said, that really the 30, one of the 30, if you remember last week, was Lilmod HaTorah HaShayeches Lahem. Which means they have to learn Hilchas Ritzicha, Hilchas Gzela. Wait a second, Hilchas Dinim, what does that mean? That means according to this Ramban, they have to go to Choshen Mishpat Kolo and sit and learn for 10 years straight to go through 400 Samad Simonim and Choshen Mishpat. Because they have a mitzvah to learn the mitzvah satah hashayachas lahem. And so do our wives. And daughters. Yeah. There's a lot to learn. Even if you don't want to teach Gemara Chas Shalom because it's tiflis, there's still plenty to learn. Both for our wives and for our guys.
Rabbi, do you think this brings about anti-Semitism? I'm serious. A friend of mine went to the Pope's summer residence. And he met the Pope's resident Talmudist.
Oh, wow.
And he was telling him the sugya he was learning. And he said, I know I'm Chayav Misa, and I trust you not to kill me.
Okay. that's actually a great story. Okay, so I want to bring out something that's very... Hold on, I don't know. If we could just do a quick analysis. There's an incredible... Before we do the analysis of the that the Ramah offers, I want to tell you a story. The story goes like this. Sometime in the early 1500s, there was a big Talmud Chacham, I don't remember his name, who put out a set, who published a set of Rambam. Now, I'm not sure, it was probably...
Braggadocio or something like that?
I don't remember the name, but again, when was the printing press established?
1475.
Okay, and we're talking, when did the Ramah live? In the early 1500s. So we're talking just a few years, maybe two, three decades after the first printing press was invented in the world. So obviously, Svarim were not common. Printed Svarim were not common. And obviously, to print them, was something that would incur an incredible expense. And there's a certain Talmud Chacham who took upon himself to allow the Jewish community to access to the Rambams. He took upon himself this expense, and he published, 100 volumes, 1,000 sets of Rambam. And to be sold, and he would recoup his investment. Shortly thereafter, a non-Jewish person figured he could tap into this market of Jews and print his own Rambam for a little bit cheaper. And he started selling it. Sent the shaila to the Ramah. What should the Ramah do? Well, this is actually the source, more than any other source in all of our literature, of copyright law in Halacha. What I'm about to tell you, this Ramah. Says, an intellectual property. Says the Ramah, we have here a case of Gezel. Because the guy who printed the second set was undermining the expenses incurred by the first person. How he got to Gezel, I don't want to get into. That's going to be complicated. But no, the first person who printed was the first person to print. He was Jewish. And then the second one who printed was a guy. Yeah. It was the Rambam, right. He was quoting the Rambam, but he incurred, right. Without getting into that, I hear what you're saying. So, the Ramah says, in the end, what the Ramah did do is he put out a cheirem, and this is why all of our Svarim all have haskamas. The concept of getting a haskama for a sefer is really so that other people shouldn't take the ideas and pass them on as their own, and haskamas are sort of like a copyright. The original haskama, as all said, nobody should take this information, should redo this work for the next 50 years, 100 years, 20 years, whatever it is. That was the concept of a haskama historically. And it's all based on this Ramah, this Tshuva that we're going to learn together right now. The Ramah says the following. And we're going to finish with this because our time is up. If everybody could look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Where do we know that one of the Zion Mrs. B'nai Noach is Dinim? Menani Mili, how do we know that there are seven Mrs. B'nai Noach? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes the pasuk that we've mentioned, and I underlined. The first word of this drasha is Vayitzav. Elo Hadinim. Where do you see in the word Vayitzav anything to do with establishing courts? Says the Gemara, V'cheinu Omer, ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav es banav, that Avraham Avinu instructed his children to keep laws. So you see that the word tzivui, vayitzav, has to do with laws. Turn the page. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Comes Rabbi Yitzchak and says, no. Elohim, the word Elohim and the Elohim in the pasuk, gzudinim. And he brings his own pasuk. Where do we see that the word Elohim, Elohim, two ways to read it, refers to dinim? Dichsiv, beginning of the second underlined line, v'nikra, baal habayis, el Elohim, Elohim are the judges. You see the word Elohim refers to judges, so Elohim in this pasuk refers to going to before judges. That's dinim. We have machlokas, what the source for going to court is. Now, says the Ramah an incredible, incredible thing. What are the two sources, the two potential sources of the Zion Mrs. B'nai Noach of Dinim? One is from Avram Avinu, and the other is from going to a Beis Din. Well, wait a second. If the source is to go from to of Dinim is from Avram Avinu, well, what kind of laws did Avram Avinu have? Only Zion Mrs. B'nai Noach. So if that's the source for Dinim, so what will the parameters of Dinim be? Whatever dinim are appropriate to a person like Avraham Avinu. However, says the Ramah, if we learn dinim from the other, like the second man to Amar, that's from the pasuk v'nikra baal habayis el ha'elohim, he comes before a Beis Din, a Jewish Beis Din. So what are the parameters? What is that Jewish Beis Din adjudicating? Hilchos Choshen Mishpat. And therefore, says the Ramah, according to the second man to Amar, that Elohim zudinim, and the dinim is learned from these other pasuk about a Beis Din, what kind of laws will the Goyim be bound by, the Shemes Bnei Noach be bound by, the laws of a Beis Din of Yisrael, the regular laws of Choshen Mishpat. In other words, the Rama says that whether or not a Goy is only bound by whatever, simple, you know, Goyisha, cultural, sociological, Hammurabiic code, it's only if it's going to be from, learn that from Avraham Avinu. But if we learn the same halacha of Zayin Mesiz Bnei Noach from a Beis Din, then it's going to end up being all of Choshen Mishpat. And that's the incredible mental gymnastics that the Rama sees in this Gemara. And you know how he comes out? How do we pass? So it's a machlokas. That the way the Rama is seeing in the Gemara, there's a machlokas, Amoraim, whether or not the parameter of Zayin Mesiz Bnei Noach, of the Dinim, is to be just, you know, a social contract between whatever the Goyim want to establish, like in America and any other code of law, or like Choshen Mishpat. And says that, you know how we paskin? He brings proofs that we paskin like the second Manda Omar, that Elokim Zudinim, that Dinim of Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach are learned from who? From the pasuk v'nekrav balabayas el ha'elokim, that a litigant should go before a Jewish Beis Din and be adjudicated by Choshen Mishpat, which means that Rama's conclusion is that goyim are bound to our Choshen Mishpat. All of the parameters of our Choshen Mishpat, and therefore the story ends. The Rama says that therefore this competitor who printed the Rambam, the second guy who wanted to print the Rambam, is a goy, but it doesn't matter. He's bound by our parameters of halacha when it comes to financial halacha, verdinim, and therefore the same way of gezel, just like a Jew wouldn't be able to steal or invade the copyright rights of that first person who printed the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, so too this, even though that other person, the second one, is a goy, will also not be permitted to invade the property rights of that first printer, and therefore, says the Rama in the conclusion of this tshuva, it will be prohibited for any person to buy the Rambam from the guy until the, let's say, 1,000 copies of the Rambam that the first person had printed are sold out. Thank you very much. Be'ezus Hashem next week, and that's his cherem. Yes, and he put that in cherem. Be'ezus Hashem next week, we will talk about some other of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and how they relate to the parameters that we have for our mitzvahs.